Blog Talk Radio.
You are about to be entertained by the eighth, the young man who has become a legend in his own time.
I'm like, I've never heard of such a group.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
So don't get it twisted.
Oh, I gotta change that song. Anyhow, what's up, everybody? It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, ronkellyshow.com. Welcome, everybody. Welcome back to the program. It's great to have you here. It's pretty good to be here. You know, what is doing this show some weeks is one of the hardest things that I have to do. And they just sometimes, sometimes when I just don't want to do the show. You know what I mean? Sometimes I just don't want to do it. Now, there's days where I might be a little bit down. Shout out to Sharon Ellen Chambers. Some days I might be a little bit down and feeling a little blue or whatever the case may be. And there are days that I just really don't want to do the show. It's very difficult to do a radio show. I mean, as a performer, and anybody who's a performer, but this radio show is a performance. A lot of days I have to perform because I'm not really feeling what you see on Facebook Live and what the people hear on a Blog Talk Radio is not necessarily how I feel that day sometimes, because I'm affected by different things. You get blue, you get down, but maybe one week the ratings weren't that good or something happens and you just don't feel, I just don't feel like doing a show all the time. What I think of people like Sharon Ellen Chambers, who I love, my sister, shout out to Jeff Franklin, shout out to Jazzy Jess, and all the people, shout out to Malik, Oscar, Ringo. See, this is what I'm saying. When I, on the days I don't feel like doing a show, there's something, like today, I was like, I'm not doing no show. But I think about Sharon Ellen Chambers, Jeff Franklin, Malik, Oscar, Ringo, Jazzy Jess, Bunny McKnight, and all the people who subscribe to the radio program every week. When I think about y'all, I'm like, man, let me turn this TV on and do my thing. Let me log into the radio station, the Blog Talk Radio, where folks all across America listen to the Ron Kelly Show. I'm like, let me go ahead and do this thing. I don't always feel like doing a show. You know how you wake up in the morning, you don't want to go to work, you want to call in. Well, some days I want to call in and tell y'all I'm not doing a show. And last time I did that, I got a really great response. So I thank everybody for partaking of the Ron Kelly Show every Thursday at 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. on blogtalkradio.com, the Ron Kelly Show. What up, Jeff Franklin? Shout out to Jeff Franklin, my boy from way back in the day, Jeff Franklin. What a shout to you, my brother. I see you on Facebook. I see your work. Keep up the good work. So today is the trial has been set. Eric Garner, a New York City police officer who was accused in the chokehold death of an unarmed black man, will face a NYPD disciplinary trial next May. Now, this is nearly 5 years after Eric Garner's pleas of "I Can't Breathe" didn't galvanize the black community like I thought it would anyway. It became a rallying cry against police brutality, an administrative judge said today. Now, Pantaleo's lawyer tried to delay the officer's departmental trial. Now, he was found innocent of Staten Island trial with Staten Island DA Dan Donovan, who lost recently, by the way. He was, Dan Donovan was the Staten Island district attorney who failed to get an indictment of Officer Daniel Pantaleo after he choked his brother, Eric Garner, to death, 43 years old at the time. And so what happened was that the Staten Island DA became a congressman. He won a special election and then he won the regular general election. And he lost just recently in the Democratic sweep of Congress. Dan Donovan lost. So anyway, Pantaleo, his lawyer, tried to delay the officer's departmental trial. Now, that's what this is, as I just explained to you. This is a departmental trial. It's not, because he was already found innocent, and the United States government which hardly ever comes to some kind of conclusion on civil rights charges, has not charged Daniel Pantaleo as of yet in the for the civil rights cases been filed against him by the folks behind Eric Garner. So what they tried to do was get the trial delayed until July, because in July the time runs out for the federal prosecutor to file civil rights charges against him. So the NYPD trial, this is a departmental trial. The worst thing that can happen to him is he can get fired. So the NYPD trial will start on May 13th. It could take about 2 weeks. Pantaleo, who's a white man, who is charged with the reckless use of a chokehold and intentional use of a chokehold in Garner's July 2014 death in Staten Island. Man, did you believe it's already 4.5 years since this happened. Eric Garner was 43 years old, father of six. He could be heard on an amateur video shouting, "I can't breathe," as Pantaleo placed him in an apparent chokehold, which is banned under police department policy after officers stopped him for selling untaxed cigarettes. Shout out to Lamont Gates. Shout out to Queen Susan Newkirk and Deacon Wayne Newkirk from the from my church. The Christ Church in Montclair in Rockaway, New Jersey. Yeah, so all right, so the case will go forward in July of next year in the Eric Garner chokehold case. And it's just the NYPD. It's just the NYPD departmental trial. The worst thing that can happen to Daniel Pantaleo is that he can be fired. My mother passed away in 2007. It's been almost 11 years, and you never get over it. Anyone out there whose mother has gone on to be with the Lord, you never really get past it. But it really affects me around Christmas time, because it seems like when the mother dies, the family dies in some cases. Some families manage to stick together, but for the most part, like my family, my mother died, everybody just scattered, you know. And since my mother is no longer here, as I said, she died in 2007, everybody just disappeared. So now, you know, we haven't really gotten together over the last 11 years that have passed since my mother's passing. We haven't really gotten together since then. So it's just weird that it seems like, you know, once the mother dies, the matriarch dies, the rest of the family dies. I had brothers and sisters I haven't seen in years, I haven't talked to them on the phone, haven't had any communication at all. And some family members are okay with that kind of stuff. Some family members, depending on who you're dealing with, some family members are okay with not seeing you after 3 or 4 years. You know, some family members are okay with that. Me, personally, it bothers me that family members, or my family members, have chosen to just be wherever it is they are. But some family members, like I said, are okay with that kind of stuff. So the holidays, the depression is I'm not depressed. Don't get me wrong, I'm not depressed. But depression is very common during the holiday season, which is upon us now. The holiday season officially starts. For me, anyway, it started at Thanksgiving. That's usually the start of the holiday season. Between Thanksgiving and New Year's Day, shout out to Mike Mazak. Between Thanksgiving and New Year's Day is the holiday season, and depression is a really big deal during the holidays. You know, depression is common amongst the holidays for a variety of reasons. Social isolation is one of the biggest predictors of depression, especially during the holidays. Now, some people may have a small social circle or a lack of opportunities for socialization. People who have feelings of disconnectedness often avoid social interactions at holiday time. Unfortunately, withdrawing often makes the feelings of loneliness and symptoms of depression worse. Some people, grieving during the holidays is another scenario where some people may be aware of the loss of a loved one during the holiday season. As I said earlier, my mom passed in 2007. And it's been about 11 years since she passed, but it doesn't really affect me. It affects me always. I mean, it does get better, but you never get over it. But she But during the holidays, it really kicks in, like Thanksgiving and Christmas and, you know, those times when families are supposed to get together, you know. So one of the, they talk about, one of the ways they talk about, you know, maybe volunteer somewhere or begin a new tradition, like plan a family outing or vacation instead of spending the holidays at home. Because it's really, you know, it's depression during the holidays is very, very serious, ladies and gentlemen. Very, very serious. I mean, I'm not depressed. I don't know if I've ever been depressed, but maybe not clinically depressed. You know, that's the difference between being one day just feeling down and being clinically depressed. So no, I don't feel I'm not clinically depressed. So. You know, another, you know, I think around the holidays, too, there's more of a, there was a story of a woman in Baltimore, and, you know, and I heard about this last week, just, you know, these are the things that you hear about, you know, during the holiday season. It just breaks your heart, and it makes it even worse, it seems, because it's the holiday season. Now, Keith and Jacqueline Smith were on their way home, and they stopped at a red light, I believe it was, and a panhandle, a woman with a sign that said, a woman with a sign, you know how folks, you know, they come up to your window, they carry signs, I'm a veteran, I'm this, I'm that, I'm the other, I'm homeless, and a woman walked up to their car. This happened in Baltimore. This was on the 4th, which was Tuesday, Monday, I believe. And so they rolled down the window after these homeless people came up to their car. They rolled down the window, and the woman, Jacqueline Smith, who was 54 years old, rolled down the window to hand the woman some money. And then a man came up. I guess they were a tag team. The man came up and stabbed her and snatched her pocketbook and her necklace off her neck. And, you know, and the woman subsequently died at the hospital. You know, just tragic, tragic, tragic story. I'm sure some of you have read about this. This is a really tragic story. What's up, Gil? Okay, maybe I'll see you over there later. Shout out to Gil Maisto. So this lady, Jacqueline Smith, died because this tag team couple, one person, and they were black, one person took the money from the lady, and the man stabbed her and took her purse. Now, did you have to stab her to get a purse? That's the thing. And the heinousness of this couple, a lady who was a church-going woman, and everybody, shout out to Bunny McKnight, and everybody had good things to say about this lady, Jacqueline Smith, 54 years old, down in Baltimore, who was killed by panhandlers. And one panhandler, the female panhandler, after her male partner stabbed the woman, had the nerve to say, God bless you. I mean, really. So the search is on. They have all kinds of people looking for these folks. I don't believe there's a description of the people, because I mean, who remembers what homeless people look like when they come up to your car? But I believe that so the search is on, the hunt is on. I don't know if again, like I said, I don't know if they had a description of the people. But you know, but somebody, they're gonna tell somebody, and somebody's gonna want that reward, and somebody's gonna turn them in. Now the funeral is coming up, and I know a lot of people, like, especially, like, I mean, me, you know, I usually will open my window when I give, you know, to the homeless. I don't stand there and think about what they're gonna do with the money, because a lot of us do that. A lot of us will critique a person, oh, they're just gonna spend it on drugs, and then we'll keep driving because we've already decided that the person's gonna spend the money on drugs. And but I don't think about it like that. If you want to blow your blessing, my job is to give you the blessing. If you want to blow it and buy drugs with it, then that's on you. But I did my job. You had an opportunity to do the right thing, and you didn't. So that's on you. So now, folks, I know a lot of people I know and people I've tweeted at and people who tweet back at me, the Ron Kelly Show on Twitter, have said to me that they're not, you know, they're not going to open their windows again to allow anybody to come, to allow themselves to be harmed by this heinousness. This woman, Jacqueline Smith, riding home with her husband, was stabbed by these heathen homeless people who may not have been homeless. You know, and it was a drug thing. It had, because people, you know, people talk about poverty being the thing that makes, you know, that's why our neighborhoods look like they do, because of poverty. But it's drug use and abuse that's the main driver behind crime in the hood, behind shoplifting and all the other things that happen in the hood. It's drugs and you know, one of the big driving force behind that. So anyway, I'm right on time. We'll take a quick break. We'll come right back with more of this program. This is the Ron Kelly Show. It's on blogtalkradio.com, ronkellyshow.com.
The Ron Kelly Show.
And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
Broadcasting to the world.
Hello.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
Hey, yes.
The news you want.
Is the perception still that a black man with a gun is a criminal?
With the topics you need.
Marching might have been good for back in the day, but what kind of effectiveness is marching have on society today?
Ron Kelly.
Black males 18 to 24 years old have the highest homicide offending rate.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
So don't get it twisted.
That's right. Do not get it twisted. We are back. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, ronkellyshow.com. Lots going on. The Bush funeral has been going on all week. Yeah, he was a president. And it's been going on all week, the Bush funeral. Shout out to my friend Gil Maestro Jr., who's out at probably at JR. I don't know if I'm going to make it there tonight. I was there last night. I don't know if I'm going to make it back there tonight, Gil, but I'll see you on Saturday. We'll be heading out to Pennsylvania to Famous Amos out there in eastern Pennsylvania, the home of Larry Holmes, who has just taken over that town since he retired from boxing. Okay, so it's about 21 minutes past the hour of 7 o'clock. You know what time it is. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, the Ron Kelly Show. .com. Shout out to Victor. Good to see you, my brother from Christchurch. Victor is in the house. Shout out to you, my brother, Victor McLean. So, man, you know, so I mean, you know, you hear all kinds of stories about, you know, relationships, for example. People have been trying to convince me to do a relationship show for years. What do I know about relationships? I can't even stay in one. I've been married twice, divorced twice. So what do I know about relationships? But I've been approached a couple times by people who are not going to pay me, by the way, to talk about relationships. And, you know, one of the things I think that if I was going to talk about relationships, what would be the first question I would ask? The first question I would ask would be, why do we keep going back to the same person? Why do we go back to the same person? Shout out to Michael Bishop. I'm doing well, Victor, my brother. Good to see you. I'll see you in church, not this Sunday coming up, but next Sunday when I come back to do my thing. Volunteer cameraman, camera 4, the jib, biggest camera in the place. You know how I do. Anyway, so, you know, why do people, if I was going to do a show about relationships, I would, the first question, why do we go back, you know, to the same person, trying again. You know, they say that the insanity is doing the same thing more than once, or the same thing twice, 3, 4, 5, 6, whatever times it is, and expected different results. So my question would be, why do we go back, you know, get in a relationship, doesn't work, go back, doesn't work, break up, go back, try it again, doesn't work, break up, go back, try it again. I've done that. You know, I've done that. I've been in relationships and, you know, and gone back so many times. I mean, yeah, and it is a form of insanity because I have done that. going back to the relationship, try again, doesn't work, try again, doesn't work, try again, doesn't work, try again. And like, why do we do that? You know, why don't we, you know, put ourselves through that where we go back to the same person over and over and over and over again. And it didn't work yesterday. Oh, it's going to work today. The person hasn't changed. You haven't changed. And, you know, and we go back to the same person over and over and over and over again. Now, I know nobody's going to talk about this. I know most of y'all who are watching this program or hearing this program on blogtalkradio.com have been through that, where you may have tried to make something work. And I guess that's just basically what you would try. You know, you're just trying to make something work that's probably not ever going to work. But we keep going back and we keep going back and we keep going back to the same situation, knowing that, you know, that it's never going to work, ever. But we keep going back and we keep going back and we just keep going back, keep going back, keep going back. So if I was going to do a radio show about relationships, that would probably be the first question that I would ask. And I probably would like to have it on a bigger stage than this one on Blog Talk Radio, you know, maybe you know, on a regular radio station some other, maybe a podcast on iHeartRadio or something like that. All right, everybody, so it's 11:30. It's Ron Kelly Show. The Trump nonsense continues, and you know, we just don't know where if it's ever going to end or where it's ever going to end. You know, you just keep hearing the same stuff over and over again about Mr. Trump. So I'm watching the Bush funeral. You know, I did watch because I have to. You know, I mean, I was curious. I wanted to see a couple things, maybe take a few pointers, and so I did watch it, and I saw how. Anytime he's at any church, he seems so uncomfortable in the church. You know, he just seemed so uncomfortable in the church. And then when the rest of when the former presidents were reading, you know, they all had books in their hands and they were reading. Mr. Trump and his wife did not read, and he seems like he just doesn't like church for some reason. Some say he's the Antichrist, which I don't really believe that. I don't really believe that Trump is a racist. I believe that he just doesn't give a damn. I don't know if he's an out-and-out racist. Some people think he is. I'm not sure about that. Shout out to everybody who's listening or listening on Blog Talk Radio or who are watching on Facebook Live. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on Blog Talk Radio. Y'all know what time it is. It's about 30 minutes past the hour. I got a half hour before I can get out of here and go do what I do on a Thursday. Oh, it is Thursday night, isn't it? On a Thursday night. You know, it'd be really embarrassing if today was Wednesday and I'm doing my show and today is not Thursday. That would really be embarrassing, So I talked a little bit about depression a little earlier, because depression is something that comes up, especially during the holidays. For some reason, it's the holidays. I talked about this. I opened the show with this. Here's some of the common symptoms of depression: deep feelings of sadness, dark moods, feelings of worthlessness or hopelessness, appetite changes, sleep changes, lack of energy, inability to concentrate, difficulty getting to your normal activities, lack of interest in things you used to enjoy, withdrawing from friends, preoccupation with death or thoughts of self-harm. Oh, wow. And those are some of the signs of depression, you know. And you never know. I mean, I think it's important that we monitor our health, but I think it's important that we also monitor our mental health, because a lot of us are, you know, on the edge. I know I've been on the brink a few times, so I know, not necessarily on the brink, but I've kind of felt a little crazy at times. So, there's a lot to, you know, I think that everybody should be able to, everyone should try to maintain their mental health during this holiday season that we're just upon us. And then, like I said, it's always, for me, it starts in Thanksgiving and it ends after New Year's. That's the holiday season, basically, because you have like, you have three major holidays in the course of like maybe a month. You have three holidays in the course of 1 month.
Imagine, you wouldn't want half a paycheck
So a massive rat. And I was just reading this. A massive rat chases an MTA agent out of a Brooklyn station booth. Now, I haven't seen the picture of a rat, but the video show a big rat chased an MTA station agent out of her station booth in Brooklyn, and the incident was caught on camera. So look this up. It's on Eyewitness News. I stumbled into it just now. And so who's surprised that there's rats in the there's probably 100 million rats in the New York City subway system. I've been down there, not lately, but I've been down there, and you can see them just scurrying around, running the place, especially down on the tracks. They're like everywhere. And if you went deep into those tunnels, you probably would find zillions of rats. And one day those rats are going to come up from underneath the sewer system, and they're just going to come up like we're tired of being down here. They're going to just come up and just take over the place. So everybody's worried about zombieism and all this type of stuff. It's going to be in New York, it's going to be ratism. The rats are going to come out of the station and just take over New York City. All right, it's 1:30. I'll take one more little break briefly and I'll come back with more of the program. It's Ron Kelly Show. And it's on blogtalkradio.com, the Ron Kelly Show, .com.
So coming to the stage is a really funny guy. Y'all know him. Put your hands together. Give it up for George Wilborn.
Well, why won't we go to the doctor? My uncle called. Speech all slurred, complaining his arm's numb. He calls everybody under the sun. Aunt Peyton, his old army buddy George. He even called my daughter Tierra because, you know, she's got a year of nursing. Everyone thinks he needs to go to the doctor, including me. So he said, well, will you take me? I'm like, I'm on the road. He goes, I'll wait. Stroke's no joke. If you or someone you love have symptoms of stroke, don't call family. Don't dial a friend. Don't wait. It may be too late. Dial 911. Time loss is brain loss. Seriously, dial 911.
Learn all the symptoms of a stroke at strokesnojoke.org. That's strokesnojoke.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
The views expressed in this commentary are not necessarily those of the Ron Kelly Show or R. Kelly Media LLC.
Hi, I'm Amanda Peet. Like all new parents, my husband and I want what's best for our baby. When it was time for our daughter's immunizations, we wanted the facts. So we carefully researched vaccines. We spoke with doctors and other experts and asked some tough questions. We decided that vaccines were the best thing for our child. I urge you to get the facts. Learn the facts about vaccines so you can make the best healthcare decisions for your family. Thank you.
A message from the American Academy of Pediatrics and VaccinateYourBaby.org.
And we are back. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, theronkellyshow.com. I know locally, anyway, I know there was a situation in Wanacue, New Jersey, at a place called the Wanacue Center for Nursing and Rehabilitation. And the person who owns the place didn't show up. State lawmakers wanted to know whether the owners of a Wanacue nursing home, where 11 kids have died in this nursing home as a result of a virus outbreak. And so now they're being accused of not having notified the state fast enough. This Wanacue, now this is not too far from where the show broadcasts out of Montclair, New Jersey. That's not too far away, maybe 15 miles or so. And the owners who own the place, the Wanacue Center for Nursing and Rehabilitation, didn't show up. So now they're going to have to be subpoenaed. Now, this place is in Wanacue, New Jersey, as I said. I've been to Wanacue many times. And 11 kids have died and 35 have been sick in one of the nation's worst recorded outbreaks of the virus. And it's just wow. The virus is called the adenovirus, it's called. And 11 kids, 11 of the kids who were there for other reasons to rehabilitate, you know, kind of like a Kessler for kids, and 11 of them died, and 35 of them were sick. And the people who owned the place didn't even show up. So that's you know, for people who live, you know, you just never know what's going to happen. You put your kid in a hospital and boom, something happens like this, which is kind of crazy. And the people who owned the place did not show up, so we'll keep an eye on that. And it kind of struck me because it was so close to here in New Jersey, where a good portion of the Ron Kelly Show listeners live. All right, so it's 25 minutes before the hour, everybody. It's Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, Ron Kelly Show. com. Everybody's awfully quiet out there tonight. I guess they just listen to me ramble on about nothing. So we had the funeral today. We had the last leg of the funeral today, President George H.W. Bush. And people ignored President Bush. He was president for 4 years, and people mostly ignored him. He ran, he won after his predecessor left office, Ronald Reagan, and then he was a president for one term, and then he got beat by Bill Clinton in when did Bill Clinton get elected? 1992, I think it was, or 96, when 2004 again. Yeah, somewhere around there, where President Bush lost to Bill Clinton. A lot of stories about the Monica Lewinsky thing. I've seen, you know, there's a lot of, I guess it's some kind of anniversary or something, and there's a lot of stories, a lot of documentaries and shows about Monica Lewinsky around this time for some strange reason. I wonder how Hillary Clinton, she has to sit there and listen to that stuff. She has to sit around and, you know, she has to kind of ignore it. She has to, you know, move on from it. And that's got to be the weirdest thing for her, because she decided to stay with her husband after after he lied and said he never touched the girl, which we all know that he did. He lied about it. And Hillary had to stay with him. You know, she decided to stay with him. He was the president. I mean, you don't leave the president of the United States of America. So I guess she just decided that she was going to stay with him. And so every year, every time they bring up Monica Lewinsky, she just has to grin and bear it. You know, so how do you handle when somebody cheats on you, how do you handle it? How does, you know, is it good to go back to the person? Do you go back to the person? Do you stay? I mean, do you do it for the sake of the kids? I know a lot of people stay for the sake of the kids. I know personally folks who are married who stay together because they have children together and they want the children to grow up in a two-parent household while they're fighting behind the scenes and God only knows what else is going on. They're staying together, acting for the kids. They're acting, you know, because they don't want to be together, but they're staying together because of the kids. And how do you do that? I mean, how do you? I don't know if I could stay in a house with somebody I mean, love the kids, but I don't know if I could go to that length and stay in a marriage that's obviously over. So the kids will grow up in a two-parent household. I mean, can you be a parent once removed from the household? I mean, as a man, for example, can you still be an effective, good parent even though you're not living in the house with your kids? Because my son's mother is married, and you know, and it's very difficult to be a father when you're not under the same roof. But how do you stay in a relationship? How do you stay in a marriage and pretend to be a couple? What if the kids are like 5 or 6? That means you have to stay together for the next 15 years or so and be miserable and unhappy because you're trying to stay together until the kid goes to college or goes to school, goes to college, leaves home, you know. So how do you do that? I don't know if I could do that. I mean, I know it's a supreme sacrifice. Some of y'all are probably saying, man, it should be easy to do that. Well, no, it's not, you know. No, it's not. So I don't know if I could do that. I don't know if I could stay in a marriage that's not right. And I don't know if I could stay in a marriage and pretend to be happy when I know that I'm really not. I don't know if I can do that. All right, 20 minutes left to the show. Kelly got to go. I'll be back with more of the program in a moment. It's Ron Kelly Show. It's on blogtalkradio.com, ronkellyshow.com.
We'll be back with more of the Ron Kelly Show after this.
Oh, no. I'm in charge of our 10-year class reunion and don't know where to begin.
Don't let this happen to you. For your next event, wedding, anniversary, class reunion, or just need to promote your business, Burkett Promotions has you covered.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Over 200 custom-made products USA made, along with personalized imprints and logos.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Burkett Promotions does it all. Big or small, we can fit your budget.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Need your event to stand out with that personalized touch? Pens, pencils, t-shirts? Go to BurkettPromotions.com.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Mention the Ron Kelly Show and receive an additional 10% off an already great price.
Thanks to Burkett Promotions, my event was a success.
BurkettPromotions.com. BIRKETT Promotions.com.
BurkettPromotions.com.
A business you can trust. A member of the Better Business Bureau, New Jersey. A+ rating. Your bathroom break is over.
Here we go.
Welcome back. Welcome.
Really?
Now I can know what I plan to do this morning.
The Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, TheRonKellyShow.com.
All right, we're back to the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com and ronkellyshow.com. 18 minutes before the end of this program, you know, I spoke to Patterson Councilwoman-at-Large Lalisa Mim. I spoke to her on the phone the other day. Very nice speaking to you, Councilwoman-at-Large Mims. And we will have her as a guest on a program of the Ron Kelly Show. We'll work on that. We'll get her in here one Thursday evening, 7 to 8 p.m. is the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com. So we will get Councilwoman-at-Large, Patterson Councilwoman-at-Large, Lalisa Mims, in. She's on a crusade to get the lights turned on in Patterson. There's a lot of, and you know, and this is something that happens in a lot of the, many of the urban settings where some of the lights just don't work. Either they're broken or somebody, people do try to siphon electricity from the base of the pole. I've seen that happen many times where folks are desperate to get some kind of juice in their house, or somebody's working on a car, whatever the case may be, which is very dangerous, by the way. There's a lot of juice running through those poles, and you can kill yourself if you touch the wrong thing. So and she's on a crusade in the city of Patterson to get those lights turned on, those broken lights fixed, and everything else that's going on over there. So we'll talk to her. We'll talk to Councilwoman Lalisa Mims right here on the Ron Kelly Show. So last week I talked about Palisades Park, New Jersey. You know, most of you who go back a little bit ways know that Palisades Park, New Jersey was one of the whitest places. And don't start with the race baiter stuff, because I really don't want to hear certain people call me a race baiter. But everybody, you know, some of y'all know that Palisades Park, New Jersey was one of the whitest places in America. And now they just elected a Korean and two Koreans for the council. Now, the Korean man defeated the white man who was running for mayor. This is Palisades Park, New Jersey. Y'all know this is Palisades Park I'm talking about, right up, you know, going toward the GWB route. One and nine going toward 46 rather, Route 46, going up to, toward Leonia, Fort Lee up that way. So, you know, that's a very white area. And the Koreans started moving in. But you see, like I talked about last week, I know some of y'all don't like when I talk about this, but see, these are the things that need to be said. These are the things that need to be spoken into existence. When we take over a neighborhood, the neighborhood looks like, you know, Beirut. When black folks take over a neighborhood. Because anytime you go through certain neighborhoods, you know black folks live there. You know. When you're going up Broadway and you get by Broadway and Auburn Street, you know black folks live there. You don't have to see no black people, but you just know they're there. So it can be 3 o'clock in the morning, nobody's outside, it's 12 degrees below zero, and there may not be any people outside, but when you go through certain neighborhoods, you know that black folks live there. You know. When you go through a bad neighborhood, you know that black folks live there. That's what it is, and that's what it's been. Now, these folks, these Korean folks, moved into the neighborhood, and they opened businesses. Just like I talked about Newark Avenue in Jersey City. Anybody from Jersey City here, Jersey City in the house. Newark Avenue in Jersey City, from Kennedy Boulevard all the way down to Tunley Avenue, is nothing but Indian stores. Indian folks in that strip, and probably in that entire area. But you know, the Newark Avenue, you know, from the White Castle all the way down. Some of you are from Jersey City who listen to the Ron Kelly Show. From the White Castle all the way down to Tunley Avenue, it's about a 5 or 6 block stretch, and there's nothing but Indian stores. Nothing but Indian stores. And I used to look at that, you know. I used to look at that and be offended by that. I would be offended when I would see a bunch of Indian stores. I would be offended when I saw a bunch of Korean stores. You know, you go and the signs are in Korean. You can't even read them. And I used to be offended by that at one time. But I understand that those folks moved in those communities and they started businesses. And then they, you know, on that strip of that strip of stores between in Jersey City, for example, you can find everything you need. You don't even have to leave the neighborhood. You can find furniture. You can find videos. You can find jewelry, all kinds of stuff. You don't even have to leave the neighborhood. And these people, they shop with each other. They commune with each other. They talk to each other. They connect with each other. They share commerce with each other. And see, this is the problem in the black community, y'all. And see, nobody wants to, everybody's doing like, I'm low, I can't see it. No, you speaking negative. You know, come on. So you go in the black community, you see wanton destruction, and you're like, why? And you're like, why is it? And then you go to other communities where other people have come, you know, and you see everything fixed up, and you see multiple stores and people sharing accounts with each other. Don't start with, they give them money when they come here, because that's total crap. Nobody gets any money when they come here. Now, maybe they come here and somebody who's already established will front for them, like a Chinese restaurant. Somebody may come here from China, person who owns a restaurant or a person who's Americanized, who have their green card or born here, whatever the case may be, that person may provide food, lodging, shelter, and a job for them when they get here. See, but that's how it's done. That's how it's done. I'm sick of hearing excuses about the Willie Lynch syndrome and all that stuff. I mean, yeah, I've read the Willie Lynch book. I believe that it did take place. But now, you know what the illness is, and why haven't we been able to figure out a cure, is my question. Why haven't we been able to figure out a cure? Why haven't we been able to figure out why our communities look like somebody did a bombing run on our community? And you go in other areas where there's a concentration of one ethnic group, it doesn't look as bad. is ours. I mean, some of these areas are just nightmarish in a lot of ways. So another excuse is we have to stop with the excuses about what the white man is doing and Trump and all of this stuff. Trump has very little influence on when it comes down to grassroots, especially in the black community. Trump has very little influence. You know, we'll open up a place. And, you know, I've seen, you know, I lived in Paterson, for example, Paterson, New Jersey. It was like any other mid-sized city in the United States of America, where you may be listening to the Ron Kelly Show. And I've seen people come out with businesses, and people will go there for a while, and then next you know the business is closed. Now, sometimes, I think that sometimes some people, the case may not always be that, excuse me, they didn't get enough participation from the black community. It's just some people just don't know how to conduct business, you know. But I do think that, we should be able to, that our community shouldn't look like, you know, Somalia, which some of our areas look like. It shouldn't look like that. If somebody else can do it, we can do it too. And I know when I preach this over and over and over again, and I think I need to say it over and over and over again because it's not getting through y'all thick heads, that we need to begin to stop holding the grudges. I don't like you. I don't like you. So you're not going to work with me because you don't like me. Okay. Doesn't make any sense, everybody. Doesn't make any sense. Oh, boy. 10 minutes to the hour. It's Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, ronkellyshow.com. Christmas is coming. Christmas is coming. I don't know, you know, I don't know. I haven't even begun to buy anybody anything. I'm sure I'm going to be buying some things. But I haven't begun to buy anybody anything just yet. I mean, I know I will get out there at the last minute, like I usually do, buying gifts on the 24th of December. That's my thing. That's what I do every year. It's the same thing. I never learn my lesson. I go out there at the very, very last minute and go out there and buy things. Shout out to Myra Lewis. Shout out to Queen Susan Newkirk, who I respect a great deal, her husband Wayne, and all the folks who partake in my nonsense every Thursday night's Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com. Shout out to Sharon Allen Chambers. Love you, my sister. Love you. And Jazzy Jess, who I didn't see tonight. I'm sure she's out there somewhere. Maybe she'll catch me on the Ron Kelly Show podcast. You can check the Ron Kelly Show podcast. It's on at blogtalkradio.com/Ron Kelly Show. And just click on the first, you just, you know, whatever this subject is. You just click on and you can download. Matter of fact, you can download it as well. Or you can listen to it on your iPhone or your Android. Just go ahead and click the blogtalkradio.com/Ron Kelly Show. And it will take you to my archive where you can listen to any podcast. Also, the Ron Kelly Show YouTube channel. You can check me out on YouTube as well. Maybe I'll get lucky like that boy. Anyway, I'm about to break out of here, everybody. It's about, you know, it's a little early. You know, I'm like chomping at the bit to get out of here. You know, I love my people. Every Thursday evening at 7 o'clock, it's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com. The Uncle Free. Now, if somebody wants, yeah, I don't usually take. Well, if someone wants to connect with me, you can get at me on Gmail. It's theronkellyshow@gmail.com. It's theronkellyshow@gmail.com. If you want to get at me on Gmail, if you want to send me an email. And on Facebook, you know it's the Ron Kelly Show. Or I do go, I have several pages. Ron Kelly, The Ron Kelly Show, Real Talk Live with Ron Kelly, and something else I have on Facebook. So you can definitely check me out. I got several pages there. Three or four pages on Facebook. And I still don't understand why y'all put your food. Stop putting your food on Facebook. It looks nasty. You know, when they treat foods like these TV shows or commercials about food, they treat food the same way they make models. They spray it. They make it look as good as Did you ever notice that you might see a Whopper or something like that on TV? It all looks so delicious. I mean, the burger looks juicy, and you know, and the lettuce is crispy, and it's just enough mayo. People do that. People make that stuff up. People dress that food up so it looks nice on camera. But all food doesn't look nice on camera. Now, if you're in your kitchen and you take a picture of some black-eyed peas, trust and believe, you look at that picture a little harder, you're not even going to know what you're looking at. People, stop putting your food on Facebook. Stop putting your food on Facebook because that food looks terrible. You know, they have people who make that food up, like we see at Arby's or Wendy's or whatever, McDonald's, whatever the case may be. They have people who dress that food up. They might sprinkle a little oil on it. So when you see the food on TV, it looks delicious. You're like, oh, man, look at that. You ever notice when you get to Wendy's and you look at that same burger, it looks completely different. It doesn't look anything like it looked on TV. There's less of it. It's smaller. It's drier. Because people, they have makeup people who actually look at those plates. They look at the burger. They spray a little oil on it to make it look like it's juicy. They do this. They do stuff to make that food look good. See, but y'all don't do that. Y'all just take pictures of your food and you put it on Facebook. And you wonder why nobody says anything. Nobody says anything because the food looks terrible. Now, it might be good. I'm not saying your food's not good, but when you put, you got to be more careful when you put your food on Facebook, because some of that food be looking real funny. And y'all be sitting back, oh, I think I put my foot in it now. Sometimes I do wonder about putting it, literally. So y'all need to put a little more light on those plates. I mean, I don't understand why people put their food on Facebook in the first place. I don't get it. There's a lot of stuff about Facebook I don't get. You know, I mean, I've done some kooky things on Facebook myself, and I'm like, man, you got to check yourself. You know, stop putting your food on Facebook. Unless you're going to send somebody a plate. It's 4 minutes before the hour. Yeah, you know, because people now connect themselves to Facebook. And people connect themselves to social media. And somebody will say, "Well, you don't have you talking messy. You ain't got no likes. Like likes are going to make you into somebody." Now, if you're running a business, or you know, like me, I have a radio show, and if I don't get a lot of likes, then yeah, it's going to affect me to a degree. But I just got to try harder to get my audience's attention. But I had thousands of likes on my Facebook page, so I'm not really worried about it. But there are folks who just want likes. There are people who connect those likes to themselves, to their own self-worth. And if you're a social media person, don't connect yourself to likes. You know, God likes you, and that's all you should be worried about. See, that's the way I got to take it back to that. I mean, like, God likes me, so I need to keep it up front. God likes me. I mean, yeah, don't let, just because you don't get a whole lot of likes, don't let that affect you. Don't attach that to your own self-worth, because likes, you know, who cares? I mean, yeah, I do sometimes. I'm not gonna lie, but I'm not down because, you know, there's 5,000 and some change likes on my Facebook page. And it does that make me feel good? It makes me feel good about my radio show, but it has nothing to do with how I feel about myself. So if you're on Facebook and you put a picture up there and nobody likes it, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Don't attach that picture or the fact that nobody partook of your picture. Don't attach that to your own. So for shout out to Steve Mayrant. If you're on Facebook, don't allow if nobody likes you, because I see some people post pictures and stuff on Facebook and nobody likes it. I'm like, wow. You know, I posted stuff on Facebook and nobody liked it, you know. And it did it affect me a little bit? Yes, but not enough where I'm going to jump off a bridge. Some people do have serious depression issues behind social media because they think that nobody likes them. You know, God likes me. You know, I have to take it there. I have to take it there a lot. God likes me. So when the family doesn't reach out to me, when friends kind of disappear and things start to happen, you know, people come and go in and out of your life, like football players in a football game. You know, some go, some come in, they stay. Some leave, and you never see them again. It's okay. You know, it's okay. You know, as long as you have God in your life, you're going to be all right. So don't let likes and stuff like that get you down. And people don't like what you say, then don't worry about it. Don't worry about that. You know, like I said, I don't know if my participation on Facebook would be very limited if I did not have a radio show. I mean, I still talk to certain people, you know, but I know that some people have connected with me through my radio show. And if I didn't have the show, I wouldn't know who they were. So I'm breaking out here, everybody. It's time for me to rumble. Anyway, it's about a minute left to the program, so I am out. We'll catch you back here next. You too, my brother. Blessings to you too, my brother. Steve Mayran, Sharon Allen Chamberlain, Victor McLean, Bunny McKnight, Gil Maestro Jr., Myra Lewis, Michael Mazak, Lamont Gates, Norwood Wayne and Susan Newkirk, Jeff Franklin, Malik Oscarino, all of y'all who, and all the people who listen to regularly to the Ron Kelly Show, I want to thank you personally for listening to my nonsense every Thursday. So I'll see you back here next Thursday for another edition of the Ron Kelly Show. So until then, love somebody. See you next week.